Chitraketu was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as the standard behavior of a Vaishnava. Is the translation working?
No.
Not yet. So, keine Übersetzer, wie intelligent. Keine Übersetzer. Oh, Schlauze an den Islam, was ist das für eine Kanone? Du siehst doch das, was da, du bist da nicht mehr. So, let us make an attempt. Kommt etwas durch eure Übersetzung hier durch? Ja, laut genug? Hare Krishna kommt durch. Von einem beleidigten Übersetzer. Gut. And the Yugoslavian devotees also hear something? Hercha, what means hearing? Hearing means? Slochati. Yes? Good. We had that already. Prabhupada, upon being informed by Lord Shiva, Mother Parvati could understand that she was wrong in cursing Chitraketu. King Chitraketu was so exalted in his character that in spite of being wrongly cursed by Parvati, he immediately descended from his airplane and bowed his head before the mother, accepting her curse. This has already been explained. Narayana para sarve na kutashchana bipyati. Chitraketu very sportingly felt that since the mother wanted to curse him, he could accept this curse just to please her. This is called sadhu lakshanam, the characteristic of a sadhu or a devotee. As explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, trinara pis nichena paro apisa hishnuda, a devotee should always be very humble and meek and should offer all respect to others, especially to superiors. Being protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is always powerful, but a devotee does not wish to show his power unnecessarily. However, when a less intelligent person has some power, he wants to use it for sense gratification. This is not the behavior of a devotee. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Vaskatyari Gatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sivasadi Gauvakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Iti Bhagavato Devyat Purati Shaptum Alantamah Murtna Sajakrihe Shapam Itavat Sadhu Lakshadam. Translation. The great devotee Chitraketu was so powerful that he was quite competent to curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. But instead of doing so, he very humbly accepted the curse and bowed his head before Lord Shiva and his wife. This is very much to be appreciated as a standard behavior of a Vaishnava. From this text, we can receive a lecture of humility. Humility is a key word for advancement in Krishna consciousness. Jiva Goswami points out that only to someone who chants the holy name with an humble attitude, the holy name will reveal himself, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly mentions this point in his celebrated 8 verses of the Shikshastakam. Trinadapi sunichena taro api suhishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If you are amanina, free from pride, humbler than the straw in the grass, more tolerant than the tree, and ready to show respects to others without accepting respect in return for you, then you can always be on the platform of chanting Hare Krishna. So it's actually a very interesting subject which we have today for our contemplation. As you know, Chitraketu was once on a pilgrimage when he came to a nice scenic spot where Shiva, surrounded by different saints, sat. The thing which irritated Chitraketu a little was that on the lap of Lord Shiva, his wife Parvati was sitting. He was irritated because that was a very intimate manifestation of their relationship as husband and wife. However, we hear that because the great saints were surrounding Shiva and they were seeing that this is the most powerful couple, so to say, they because they didn't think it is not befitting, Chitraketu should also not have thought that. You cannot imitate the behavior of great personalities, so therefore you should not question them when they do something which is not understandable, but which falls in the realm of Sadhu, Guru and Shastra. Sadhus did not mention anything. We hear from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti that actually this was a leela. Chitraketu, when Chitraketu began to laugh about Shiva, that he was sitting in such an intimate way with his wife, he actually was more like a god brother, or brotherly. It was done out of brotherly affection. He just like god brother sometimes joke in a way amongst themselves, which should not be imitated between devotees who are not god brothers. So Mother Parvati became, so Shiva understood it like this, but his wife retaliated the laughter of Maharaj Chitraketu and cursed him. The curse was actually very powerful. It propelled or transferred Maharaj Chitraketu into the body of a demon, the great demon Vritasura. Anyways, it's a fascinating story, and we will certainly have ample opportunity to hear. Those who are very interested in this background should go to the 6th canto and read it there. It's a very amazing story how Maharaj Chitraketu, this great devotee, became a demon actually, but in his heart remained loyal to Krishna. It's an example of a split personality who acts, however, his role completely authentic. I mean, he was acting as a demon. The whole world was afraid of him. Then, after that, he went home back to Godhead. So, But this should not concern ourselves so much here. What is interesting here is the wonderful qualities of Chitraketu. He could have retaliated. He was powerful enough to throw a counter curse. However, he didn't do so. He humbly accepted the curse. There is a similar example in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the example of Maharaj Parikshit, who was cursed by the son of a Muni called Sringi to die within 7 days. Now, Prabhupada makes also the point that he could have counter-cursed, and he could have even evaded the curse. Because as we hear, Vaishnavas can evade curses. There's a way to do it. If you're interested to know, you can ask me after the lecture what it is. He could have done so, but no, he accepted this for his own purification as the arrangement of Krishna. And we all know that it was the arrangement of Krishna. He, by becoming cursed like this, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to him within 7 days. Shukadev Goswami came and advised him what to do with the remainder of his days. So, also there it is discussed how Parikshit Maharaj was so tolerant and so humble that he even accepted the verses. And this brings us now to our main point. We have set the stage. A Vaishnava should remain humble if he is punished by superiors, because that punishment is meant for his ultimate benefit. It is for showing him mercy. This point is discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Kama Lakanta Vishwas, a personal secretary, was chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu due to misbehavior. It was a slight misbehavior. This misbehavior was founded on a philosophical error. Mahaprabhu, in order to set things right, thought it necessary to correct Kamala Kanta Vishwas. Prabhupada explains there that corrections done by superiors are to be accepted like that, and they are just a sign of their mercy. Usually the conditioned soul, when it becomes corrected, immediately begins to defend itself. Like I told Kovachandra, he is the best of the intelligent people by not being there for the translation. Immediately, so many reasons, and angry, and the door slapping. This is a typical, it's not Kovachandra, it's only his mind, it has nothing to do with him. Don't become disturbed. He is a very good, serious devotee, that there is no question. But this is immediately the function of the mind. I mean, we had the example, so. This feel it was Gaurachandra's mercy to all of us to show this morning, that we can understand how it works. As soon as the conditioned soul becomes reminded of his duty, the mind, being such a nitkov, a rascal, immediately begins to retaliate and defend itself. As you all know, there are four characteristics of a conditioned soul: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We have guarded our false identity by a complicated network of defense systems, much like the American new weapons, who are very, very sophisticated. You know, they can detect I mean, they have the most hellish weapons. They can... Anyways, let us not go into this. So our mind has the most hellish weapons of deception, self-deception, which is surrounding us so that the spiritual instructions cannot bear fruit in our heart. And they shoot any criticism right almost before it starts. They shoot it down. This is non-Vaishnav. Now Maharaj Chitta Ketu, he immediately felt remorseful when Parvati instructed him and cursed him. He thought, yeah, this is right. I am a rascal. Also Maharaj Parikshit immediately saw this is right. This is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In a similar way, all of Vaishnavas should learn the chastisement of superiors are actually meant for our benefit. If a superior really punishes you, he will not tell anything to you. He will react extremely neutral to you. He will smile at you even, not entangle himself and waste. Because he thinks it's a waste of time to care for you. So, if the superior Vaishnavas criticize us, we should gladly accept it as a mercy, so that we are able to advance in Krishna consciousness. Now, Prabhupada makes another very beautiful point in the shloka. He says that being protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee is always powerful, but a devotee does not wish to show his power unnecessarily. There was a very nice question which we discussed not long ago. A Sankirtan devotee asked, what should we do when there is a man on Sankirtan who is not very respectful? Sometimes I just want to go and finish him off. You know, small Sankirtan devotees said like this. But we know that these Sankirtan devotees have power, and if they want, they can be extremely heavy on the street. So here this is said, this is answered, this question. If you want to show your power, to show that you are superior, this is actually materialistic. And this is what is done in material life. As soon as someone is in a superior position, he immediately wants to show his might. We all know that the conditioned soul has two tendencies slumbering within the heart, just like dark, poisonous snakes. One is a tendency to enjoy, the other to control, to exercise power or might. So if a devotee does this, shows his power unnecessarily, it can be understood that he is still contaminated by these tendencies. A devotee should only use the protection which Krishna has given him to when it is absolutely necessary. Like I remember in the old times of Sankirtan, our German Sankirtaneros were very heavy with the people. There was one personality who by now is purified from this tendency, but he just, you know, they almost physically, I mean mentally, they just wrap them, you know, and just pulling them on the spot into the corner. You can do this if you have a strong mind. You can. So they forced people to take literature by using this protection. This is sometimes it happened. It's not that that this was general custom, but it sometimes happened. So this is what happens with someone who is materially contaminated still. He will misuse the power to control others. Yogis can be so powerful, Prabhupada explains this, they can bring an audience of a couple of thousand people under the control just by mental power. They talk and talk, and in the end everyone believes it. So a devotee doesn't do so. These two points we wanted to make in the beginning because they explain the shloka which we have today. They are very nice points for our steady advancement in Krishna consciousness. If you go to the antidote of these mentalities, that means become humble and meek, you will actually please the Supreme Personality of Godhead with this attitude, and soon he will come into your heart. Krishna comes into the heart which is decorated with nice Vaishnava qualities, and the most attractive qualities quality for Krishna is humility. Even sometimes when we are chastised, we should not defend ourselves immediately. Think it is for your good. Think that you are a rascal and you deserve punishment, so on and so forth. I can just conclude this by bringing out a very personal story which I've told many times because it's my life story, but I have not told it for the video, so we will tell it for the video and the posterity. When I came to Krishna consciousness, I was the perfect example of someone who has a mental defense system around him, very complicated. So Prabhupada, I actually wanted, I was a guest at that time. I happened to shave up one day before Prabhupada came to the London temple, but it didn't mean anything. I was a friend of avant-gardistic lifestyles, so I wanted to see Prabhupada and afterwards go on a world tour. So, world travel. But after having heard Srila Prabhupada two times, or three times, I don't know, more, 1 week, his lectures, morning and evening, I thought, well, I can't really now go back into the material world, because Prabhupada talked so much about surrender and he established his point so well that it would be I have to defeat Prabhupada first, then I cannot surrender to him. If I can show to myself that I'm stronger than Prabhupada, I can, that my brain is better, I can run out of the material world. I can tell you this openly. I mean, it was not always in my heart to defeat Srila Prabhupada, but it came, the envious tendency. So I wanted to involve, this is a classical way students worked at that time, they involved the other in a contradiction. So I thought I had found one and I asked, Prabhupada, please, you say that Krishna is all merciful, but why has he created this world which is a place of misery? This is cruel. So Prabhupada looked at me. Then he said, what did you say? Then I felt a little restless. And I repeated my question. And Prabhupada asked the secretary, what did he say? And the secretary said, what did you say? In other words, my importance was shrinking. I felt the universe stood still. Well, I asked Srila Prabhupada and I repeated the question. Then Prabhupada just exploded. Not exploded, he was very composed, but his words were extremely strong. they became like piercing shafts of arrows. He just said one sentence. Not Krishna created the material world. You created the material world. And he looked at me. You. And everything began to work. What to say now? What to say now? What to say now? What to say now? But I didn't know anything to say. I was finished with the first in one sentence, and I feel my material life. The starting of the finishing of my material life, it came then. I didn't understand the answer, because I was not knowledgeable in our philosophy at that time. I was just a newcomer. I had practically just done a little reading in the Bhagavad Gita and a few lectures, typewritten lectures of Srila Prabhupada I've written. But there were also not more books. There must have been more books, but I had no access to more books. I didn't understand the answer, but I understood one thing very clearly. I'm a rascal. There was no doubt about it after this answer of Srila Prabhupada, and then I decided, okay, that's it. I surrender my life. For 1 week, I was completely finished. I thought, oh, did this have to happen in the beginning? Now Prabhupada is angry at me. He will probably initiate me. He will not like me. He has seen what a rascal I am, that I want to escape Krishna by giving Krishna the fault. Now I understand. It was Prabhupada's unique mercy. Wouldn't he have taken the trouble to care for me? Wouldn't he have cared for me at that moment? He would just give some answer which was not doing that. But he knew how to take a condition, so drag him by the neck into his shelter. This is a wonderful nature of Srila Prabhupada, and it shows you as an illustration. This was the last illustration to this point. Don't be angry. Don't defend yourself when Krishna puts you on the test, or when the superior Vaishnavas think it is necessary to be heavy towards you. Accept their heaviness with folded hands and be glad that they care for you. So, this is one point. I wanted to raise another point. Today is the appearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who is a great Vaishnava saint in our tradition. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung many songs which we sing. For instance, Siguru Charana Padma, that's composed by Narottam Das Thakur. He is an example of someone who intensely desired the lotus feet, the shelter of the lotus feet of his spiritual master. But even more so, he is an example of a pure devotee whose greatness we cannot even fathom. Narottam Das Thakur, let us briefly go through his life, was born in Khituri Gram. He was actually born after Chaitanya, directly after Chaitanya. His father was one king, Krishna Chandra, as far as I remember. Krishna. Who remembers? Was it Krishna Chandra? It was Krishna Chandra. His father, Krishna Chandra, was so happy when Narottam was born that he carved invitations on golden plates. These were gold plates which were sent out as invitations, not paper. This shows you how rich he was. he wanted his son to be later also a king. However, soon he began to notice that his son was very special. First he noticed it at the grain-giving ceremony, Anakuta it's called, where he gave rice to his son. This is a ceremony. But the son spit out the rice. It was a little baby. What is this? Everyone was just looking. Is he a demon or what? But then one priest said, no, no, he only accepts prasadam. So they had to give him some grains from the prasadam and he ate that. Even as a little boy, he only accepts prasadam. Then, it's a long, long story, they actually were afraid because his tendencies for renunciation were so visible even in his young age. His parents were afraid to let him go to the Ganga to take a bath because they feared if he goes to the Ganga he will take to the nature of a devotee. So what they made is just before their house they built a little pukur, that's like a pond, so that Narottam could swim in the pond. And they always had people around him who took care that he would not be together with the renunciants. Because Krishna Chandra's home was frequently visited by devotees who would tell about Chaitanya. Whenever Narottam, the little boy, heard katha about Chaitanya, he began to cry and chant, Gaura, 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 Gaura. Everyone saw this is a great saint, a great svetats. Sorry, I was too long in Yugoslavia. I'm always saying the Yugoslavian words, which I know, 10 words I know. He was very, very, very special. Later, they made a school for him just so that he would not go to teachers who would tell him about the purpose of life. They had different academic teachers. Narottam Das Thakur learned everything very fast, and after he had learned what the teachers knew, he dismissed them. And he always said, do you know anything about Krishna? They didn't know. He was not very interested in them. So one day, something extraordinary happened. One day, he went to the Ganga. Now, within Mother Ganga, I think this is known to all of you, within Mother Ganga, Lord Nityananda had deposited a great treasure. It was the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was there in a personified form. Then, and it was said that, I believe it was even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who deposited it. I heard it two ways. So either Nityananda or Chaitanya deposited this love of Godhead in Mother Ganga. And they had told Ganga, we will leave the planet, but after us will come a great devotee, and when he takes birth in your waters, then you give him this love of Godhead. So Mother Ganga said, okay, but how will I know him? There's so many devotees take bath in me. No, no, he is so special. When he touches your waters, Andy, with his feet, they will rise to the sky. You will be so agitated because he is already so full of love. So one day when Narottam Das Thakur went into the Ganga, It was actually the night he had to escape. They had a festival within the house, a marriage festival, I believe. So he climbed out of the roof, through the roof, and took a bath in the Ganga. Mother Ganga gave him this gift. Now in the morning, the parents looked for Narottam, but he was not in his room. They were extremely shocked. Now it has happened. He has left. So they were looking for him all over. Couldn't find him. Then they sent soldiers, and the soldiers looked for a whole day, but they said, sorry, we are sorry. The only thing anyways, after some time, Krishna Chandra said, we have found no one. Who is this person in the Ganga? And he looked and he saw, this is my son. He was constantly crying, sometimes jumping up, dancing wildly, then sitting, looking for long, sighing, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Then lamenting, oh, I'm separated from you. What am I doing here? Better I die immediately. Like this. They thought, this is my son. They went up to him and brought him into the house. And they brought tantrics, who exorcists, to help him. But they said, well, we can't do anything in this case. He has love of Godhead. I said, Krishna Chandra. And they couldn't even recognize Narottam. Narottam was very blackish as far as his complexion was concerned. But after Mother Ganga gave him this Gaur Prem, this love of Krishna, he became golden. His whole body became extremely golden. So, anyways, it's a long story. After some time, Narottam Das Thakur went to Vrindavan. He became initiated by Lokanath Goswami. He had to serve him for many, many days, for months and months. It's a nice point for new devotees. They should not be too quick in making decisions who will be their spiritual master. It's a very weighty decision. It should not be made on the basis of some sentiment only. But the reason why it took so long for Narottam was because Lokanath was so humble. Lokanath Goswami, he would not accept any disciples. Jiva Goswami had told Narottam, "You must seek the shelter of Lokanath," and therefore, following Jiva Goswami's instruction, who was the Shiksha Guru of practically all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan at that time, he had gone to Lokanath, but Lokanath forbade him to come and try to find shelter. He said, no, no, this will disturb my bhajan. I am an old man. I have to think of Krishna. I have to think of disciples. Ugh, this is such a headache. Plus, I'm not at all qualified. I'm the lowest of the low. Lokanath Swami was so humble. He is one of the greatest Vaishnavas, but he would not allow Krishnadas Kaviraj to put his name into the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Only by some trick. One time it is mentioned, just one word, Lokanath Goswami is there, and he's mentioned with a whole lot of other devotees in one shloka who went with Rupa Goswami to Mathura. So Narottam felt very, very sad and heartbroken, and he thought, well, if you won't accept me, then at least let me do some service for you. And he served Narottam Das Thakur in an unknown way. See, he made a path for Lokanath Goswami to go to the Yamuna so that he could take his bath there. When Lokanath Goswami found out that someone
had tried to serve him by making this path, he avoided the path and again went through the thicket of Vrindavan. Now today it is not, you can freely walk in Vrindavan. Not in the evening and the night, because there are many wild dogs, but during the day you can freely walk wherever you want. But at that time there was a thicket. So anyways, Lokanath Goswami was firm, not wanting to accept any disciples, so he went through the thicket. Then he noticed after some time that whenever he had finished his noon duties, the place where he did so was cleansed. It was Narottam who was hiding, and when Lokanath Goswami had finished his noon duties, he came and cleansed the place. So after some months, he is someone trying to serve me. See, Lokanath was very absorbed always in his bhajan, and he hid. So after some time, he saw this Narottam Das Thakur, he was the son of the king, came to cleanse the place where Lokanath Goswami made his noon duties. Lokanath became furious, just grabbed and he said, "Haven't I told you? I will not accept you. I will not accept you. I will not accept you." Oh. So actually Narottam said, "I know this, but I just want to serve you. That's all. I just want to serve you. Nothing more. Please allow me." Then Lokanath said, "Hare Krishna, take your bath in the Jamuna." And Narottam came out, "Come with me." Then he brought them to his beloved deities. Radha, we note, are their names. He said, "My dear Lord, he's so determined. What can I do? But I am not qualified. What can I do? You please accept them. You please take care of him. I will initiate them as a service for you." Then he gave him a tulsi leaf from the lotus feet of Radha Vinod. That was the initiation. So Narottam learned under Jiva Goswami together with Srinivasacharya and Shamananda. They formed the first preaching party. After they had learned, they took a case of books to Bengal to spread the teachings, which were the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously, but they were developed further on by the Goswamis to spread the teachings in Gaudiya Desh. Narottam Das Thakur became very influential. He had many disciples who were kings and who were coming from high-ranking Brahmana families. He was very successful also in establishing Krishna conscious philosophy over anything else. He debated with scholars like Rup Narayan and Ganga Prasad, and finished them, defeated them in debate. He was he was many times attacked by Brahmanas because, strictly speaking, he was not born in a Brahmana family. He was a son of a king. However, since he was a perfectly realized Vaishnavas, he was far, far beyond the Brahmanism. And one thing which I think very important, since we come just now from a preaching tour and we will soon have a preaching tour through Poland, which promises to be the big preaching event ever done in the history of this universe. The Polish devotees have promised us for each program minimum 3,000, but much more are expected, I guess, conditions sold. So Narottam was actually the Narottam Das Thakur was the first preaching group he made, and his preaching into a cultural event. He had a stage, and on the stage he would perform Gaura Leela, Chaitanya Leela. It means just like you have seen in Vrindavan, devotees would sing and then act. It was almost like a Krishna conscious operette, if you so want, mixed with drama. He would have thousands and thousands, I mean much more than we can assemble in our program, listening and hearing about the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His disciples went to Manipur and revived Vaishnavism there. He had musical medanga players who were so expert. When these medanga players exactly knew to play in harmony, they would jump up and in the beat, then they would land with another beat. Then they would dance with the medangas dancing. They were very expert, and it was exactly in harmony. So when they drummed, it was just perfect. And Narottam developed actually his own musical style. I could just Gorhati, I think it's called. This is the wrong. It's the wrong information. Please forget this. It's not Gorhati. I'm sorry, I can't tell you how the style goes. Prabhupada sings also in this style. You know, when his melodies are very floating, with his harmonium, he plays something completely different than he sings. So this is Narottam Das Thakur's musical creation. Another point which should be mentioned in glorification of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He organized the festival, the first Gopunim festival. On the appearance day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was the one who organized a wonderful festival. They installed 6 deities on this festival of Mahaprabhu. This is also the first installed deities of Mahaprabhu. There were others who were very special. You know, they were installed before, but it started then. And during his kirtan in Keturi Gram, believe it or not, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came. Nityananda personally came. Advaita Chandra came. The whole Panchatattva was dancing with the devotees before the eyes of the devotees. The devotees floated in ecstasy. They had a vision of the Supreme Personality of God. And Achyutananda, you might remember him, he was as a little boy sucking the toe of Chaitanya. He was very blessed son of Advaita Acharya. He danced with his father, who had left already. They were dancing, father and son. It was very heart-rendering. No one could understand the potency of the love of Narottam Das Thakur, who could bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there, present before everyone. So this day is very, very auspicious. Narottam was a very successful preacher. He made Krishna consciousness an established fact all over. And today we can all pray to Narottam Das Thakur to please utilize us in his service. We also want very much to organize huge festivals where so many people came. Once I talked with Srila Harikesh Maharaj on this, he suggested that we buy a huge circus tent where you can bring so many thousands of people in, and that we have our program with our Gauranga Bhajan group and drama, and there would be a traveling kitchen with it, big van or big bus which would cook for these thousands of people, and book distributors, an army of book distributors would be around that, who would distribute books all around, and this way this circus would travel from town to town. It would have such an attractive program that everyone in town would have to come. I mean, you can do very nice things. You can have, like, what is this? Madhavendra Puri, you may know. They swallow fire. How is the name of these people? Those who swallow fire. And then they throw it out. Fire flamers. Have not seen in circles? They go with a torchlight. It comes out, fire. So you could have in the kirtan, you know. I always want to do this. I'm not yet bold enough, but one day it's not so easy. It's not so difficult. You can just, you know, then you go drink a little bit, and then when they don't chant loud enough, you come like, and then it says, and let us Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, you know. You can do such wonderful things in these programs that people will have to, wake up from their material existence. So this is today Narottam's Thakur's appearance day. I mean, this may be a little in the mode of passion, this idea. There are certainly more sattvic ideas, but we will have to research the Vaishnava tradition a little bit for festivals. Now, this brings a point which I feel is very nice to make in this festival. The Vaishnava tradition is full of festivals like this. I remember just this fire idea, because yesterday this wonderful drama also made this, was a very good drama, I found. Very deep, it went deep into the, isn't it? So in the Vaishnava tradition, when you have the deities, you have a curtain before the deities, and when it's the first time where you see the deities, you put the curtains in flame, it's done in the night, and the curtain goes like, and then you see Krishna. So there are such things, such outstanding things in our Vaishnava tradition. We will have to research it and you apply it on the stage. some things which really, when a conditioned soul is exposed to elements in their pure form, this has a deep psychological effect. So fire is one of these things. Anyways, Narottam Das Thakur made such plans how to spread Krishna consciousness with preaching programs, cultural programs, which went all over establish the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was not so much known at that time. So, yes, this is actually coming into a talking mood. I should finish here. This is the glories of Narottam Das Thakur. Again, I want to remind, please do not think this is just some unimportant words. If you take the dust of the great acharyas on your head, that means if you pray for the mercy of Narottam Das Thakur, you will experience great strength. We all want to leave our home that we have done, more or less successful, and I mean, everyone here, a few friends are still thinking what to do in this regard. But now let us leave also our conditioned nature, which is the prison of the soul, behind. Let us move out like Narottam Das Thakur, who left his family, although the family was Krishna conscious. He didn't want this kind of family life where he would be diverted in his attention to serve Sri Krishna in loving devotional service. He left that and went to Vrindavan. He took shelter under Lokanath Goswami, learned under Jiva Goswami, and became a great preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement throughout. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki jai! Do you have any short question? Shukran Ba? Ist er da? Ach so, der ist bei der Übersetzung drin. The question was, what to do when devotees are attacked on the street by non-devotees, by karmis? The first thing to do is chant the Nrisimha prayers. Usually that works. We just heard that these 10 fanatics in Yugoslavia, the Chetniks, attacked our devotees physically. But when the devotees began to chant the Nrisimha mantra, the cause of the agitation went down. So chant real loud, but really take shelter. I mean, it is really shocking for the aggressor. First of all, to see someone. Namaste Narasingaya. He will be, and then Lord Narasingadev will come to your aid. Now, if this is not, if somehow or other this Lord Narasingadev chooses to not appear. He might. Then you have to defend the Vaishnavas by becoming like a lion. You should not think about anything else, but just become like a lion. However, this has to also be considered. Sometimes, when the we have to. This is the old instruction. But we live in a very demoniac civilization, so if there is a fight between devotees and karmis, it is not very good. And the danger is that other karmis become involved in protecting the nice demon who, after all, told the devotees, showed the devotees that they are rascals. And who. So best is to calm the aggressor down. You can do this by taking his hands and avoiding that he beats the devotees. But if he really is determined to hurt a Vaishnava, then we do not think about our what will come out of the glories of the devotees. Out of our, we will just finish him, not kill him, make it that he cannot attack the devotees. But this is really the last step, all you aggressive devotees out there, if there should be anyone. You should avoid this by all means, because it makes a bad public image. You may like to wrestle a little bit and finish someone off, but it is not very intelligent to do. I remember Prabhupada once was giving a preaching program in Amsterdam, and there was someone who became really blasphemous against Prabhupada. You this, you that, you this, you this. You sit on a big throne. And he offended Prabhupada so much. So Pradyumna just, he was Prabhupada's secretary. He just jumped from the stage. Then Chakravarti went. And then I thought, well, this is fun. You know, so Ren, you know, now little Kshatriya mentality. You know, and we just jumped. I think by then it was 10 devotees who jumped on the conditioned soul. And, Prabhupada said, no, no, no. He said this, but we were more determined than Prabhupada. So next day, this person was in the temple. He looked a little bit ruffled, but he took part in the program. Yes, it was mercy for him. But anyways, this is the last thing we want to do, make a battle on the street, if you can avoid it. But if it's not possible, and if you have chanted Namaste Narasimhaya, and if you have carefully checked your heart that you are not just an aggressive, but you have to defend the Vaishnavas, then become like the lion. Not good for the karmis to hurt a Vaishnava, nor is it good for anyone to see how a Vaishnava is hurt. This all auspiciousness leaves that place where Vaishnava is hurt. It's very bad for also the, on the long run, for the aggressor, for the bystanders. Anyways, that was a long answer for Shruta Kirti Prabhu, because he is a strong personality, so he might need to hear it in detail. Good. We should end our lecture here, because at 10 o'clock we will have the initiation ceremony here in the temple. Please all come, also who are not initiated, to bless the new Vaishnavas who are entering into their spiritual life in a very substantial way now. They need the blessings of all the Vaishnavas in order to be successful in Krishna consciousness. The new initiates should be freshly showered, dressed in fresh clothing, and be in good Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.